Welcome Chuck and Diane back home, right? They've been gone for a couple weeks visiting family down in Tennessee. Steve and Sue, our snowbirds, are back, you know what I mean? Just in time for the warm weather. I told them, I said, you guys know you missed the warmest winter on record in Michigan. But they're down there freezing in Florida. But it's wonderful to come together on the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to have a lesson today that I firmly believe is overdue. Overdue, not just for our congregation, but for all congregations of the Lord's Church. Reverence and awe. When's the last time you've heard a sermon on reverence, right? When's the last time you've heard a sermon on reverence and awe? You know, because God, he is a awesome God, is he not? I mean, the creator of the universe, right? The first and the last, you know, the Alpha and the Omega. You could go down the list and really spend a whole class just focusing on the names of the Lord, right? For God is so great that there's so many adjectives that could be really applied to his name in regard to who he is and all he does. And as we think about God in reverence and awe here this morning, I want us to really focus on this lesson. Because as we go through this lesson, and towards the end of it, I'll start to hit on some things that I feel are a common problem that I've seen and seeing more and more often at various congregations of the Lord's Church. I've spoken with other ministers and other elders and other church members who recognize the same things that are going on in their congregations. And so it's something that I hope that all of us would focus in on this morning. And as we think about this lesson here this morning, remember, it's God is not only an awesome God, but he seeks a personal, close, intimate relationship with each one of us, does he not? And as part of his creation that has been created in his image, we have been created for a higher purpose. We have been created for a higher purpose, and we oftentimes fall short. And we fall short because of this little thing called lack of faith or this little thing called sin. And neither one of them are little things. They're big things, right? And that stain, the sin causes a stain on our human soul. But it's that awesome and righteous and holy and mighty God that did what? That he loved us so much he gave his own son for us. So we may live and have eternal life. He gave his son to die for us so that our sins could be washed away. Amen? And so brothers and sisters, through that very one act, God has shown for all time his love for his creation. And so brethren, we must embrace the one who took our place. I think of what the author of Hebrews had to say in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. If you're looking on the screen behind me, it says, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, was crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, what? He might taste death for everyone. Brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing to think about how God has set us free from sin? Set us free from the slavery and the shackles of sin, and through him, we do what? We find meaning for our lives. We find meaning, we find purpose, we find out that our lives are significant and have significance. And so brothers and sisters, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, God has made everything new. But he can only make everything new if you're willing to give your life to God through Christ Jesus, be baptized for the remission of your sins, so that way when you come up out of that water, you're a new creation. You're a new creature. You've been washed clean. And God does that for us because he loves us. He has given us new life, and now we must live for him. I'm going to show you several passages of scriptures from the psalmist here this morning. For David has many things to say about reverence and awe to God. I think of the first one in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 9. And notice what it says there. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the whole earth. How magnificent is your name throughout the world. So as we gather to worship God each and every Sunday, brothers and sisters, the thought that his favor has rained down upon us should move us to do what? To have profound reverence and awe for a holy and righteous God who has created us. It makes me think of the next one, Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. As you look at this one on the screen behind me, I will thank the Lord with all my hearts. I will declare all your works, your wondrous works. I will rejoice and boast about you, and I will sing about your name. I will sing about your name most high. You look at that one, brother, and what do we see? With all that in mind, ask yourself, what is worship? With those thoughts in mind about the awesomeness, the righteousness, the everything that we could say about our eternal Creator and Lord and King and Savior, I want you to ask yourself, what do you think about when you come to worship? What's your mindset as you get ready to enter into worship? What is worship? I mean, that could be a question, right? Brothers and sisters, what is worship? It's a simple question to answer. It's worship is that natural response for God's amazing grace. Because of God's amazing grace, because of his righteousness, and because of who he is as our Creator and our Savior, we should go into worship with a certain attitude, a certain mindset. Because knowing all that he's done for us, we should have gratefulness in our hearts. And because of that gratefulness, because of having thanksgiving in our heart, knowing what his son has done for us, it should be a natural response to want to come together, gather together with the saints, and offer praise to Almighty God. Right? And so that's why you've heard Randy and the elders say oftentimes, Randy when he's up here doing announcements and other times, that we are participants, not observers, right? And so there's only an audience of one, and we are all to be active participants offering reverent worship to a holy and righteous God. And so worship, brethren, it is in worship that God's magnified. It is in worship where we have our view of God expanded. It is in worship where we are reminded of the humility that we should have for God. If you guys read the bulletin article later on today, I want you to notice that there's a couple different areas or a couple different passages of scriptures that we looked at with this idea of reverence. You know, when you think about Moses, right? Didn't Moses call out Aaron, or God called out Aaron and Miriam because they had the idea that, well, they are just as good and holy and righteous as Moses, and that we do just as much for God. And so God calls them to the tent of meeting and does what? He kind of calls them to the carpet. But how many times has Moses, even though he speaks with God face to face, when he was alive and here on this earth, how many times did he prostrate himself before a holy and righteous God? Multiple times in Scripture we see him dropping down, prostrating himself, face in the dirt, because if he knew he stood before a holy and righteous God. And you could give many different examples. Isaiah, when he was caught up in the vision, right? We've seen how Isaiah prostrated himself before a holy and righteous God. We see lots of examples of how men of God, even though they were God's men, still had the type of reverence and awe that they would prostrate themselves before God. And if you don't know what prostrate means, that means you're on your hands and your knees with your face in the ground, because of you realize how insignificant you are in the presence of a righteous and holy God. And so, brothers and sisters, that's the type of mindset, that's the type of attitude that we're supposed to have when we come into worship of a holy and righteous God. Look at this next one the psalmist says. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. And let us exalt his name together. Brethren, you look at that simple passage. Note carefully where David's focus lies. David's focus lies that as we worship God, we worship in a way that he gets the glory. Not us. We're not worshiping God so we can be entertained. God is to be glorified through our humble praise and adoration of his great and holy name. Brothers and sisters, worship happens when your spirit begins to respond to God. And as we grow and mature in our faith, our spirit should then have a deeper response unto God. This next passage in Psalm 113 tells us, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give praise, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. Brothers and sisters, we must worship God from the heart. Amen? Amen. And Jesus, he's mentioned this many times throughout Scripture. For those of you who like to take notes, in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, the scriptures tell us that God wants our head and he wants our hearts. And then you think about Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, and the scripture says that God wants true hearts to worship him. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 and 24, a lifeless faith of obligation and routine is going to be rejected by God, the scriptures tell us, paraphrasing, obviously. And so, brothers and sisters, we must never replace the need to know God with a quest for knowledge of God. I'm going to say that one more time. We must never replace the need to know God with a quest for simple just knowledge of God. Right? You see, we need to not only be hearers of the word, hearers of the truth, but actual doers of the word, doers of the truth. And so the point of worship is not activity, not even the right activity, but the point of worship is intimacy with God. And so I want you to think about these things here this morning, because I want you to ask yourself, what's your mindset when you are preparing yourself to come into the house of the Lord? What is your mindset when you're coming together with the saints to worship a holy and righteous God? Brethren, God wants our reverence. He wants us to have passion and worship him with passion. So again, ask yourself, how do you approach the worship assembly? Are you prepared? Have you prepared the night before? Are you scrambling around in the morning trying to figure out what you're going to wear and get the kids ready? And now your mindset's all in a fog because, you know, you just... If you have kids and you've gotten the kids ready, it takes a minute. It can be stressful, right? But we know, though, if we had better preparation, maybe that may make it a little bit easier. Not because it can make it easy, but maybe easier. And so, brethren, we need to make sure that we're preparing ourselves, preparing our minds in order to worship a holy and righteous God. And the worship service is to be understood that it is a special time each and every week that you literally present yourself before God. How many of us really believe that? I wonder if we were to show a raise of hands, how many of you really believe you come into the presence of God? Because I wonder if you believe that you come into the presence of God, that maybe you would dress maybe a little differently. Maybe your mindset would be a little different. Maybe you wouldn't be so casual or flippant about your worship and how you do things. Because if you realize how infinitely great God is in comparison to ourselves, then I wonder if our hearts and minds might be a little different. You see, the scriptures tell us where two or more are gathered in my name, he is with us. He is there amongst us. And last time I checked, doesn't the Holy Spirit of God dwell in the temple of the believer? Right? So isn't the Holy Spirit of God within you? And so as we worship God, God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows whether you're sincere or you're even partially paying attention. He knows whether you're singing songs of praise or you're checking your emails. And so, brethren, these are things that I want us to consider here this morning, because God wants your reverence, he wants passion from you, and the worship service is to be a special time where we present ourselves before a holy and righteous God. Worship time, worship is not to be a social hour. Worship is never meant to be casual. If you go throughout all of the Old and the New Testament, and you were to look up and you were to study, just to do a study on worship, never was it casual, lackadaisical, flippant. Like, there was structure, there was seriousness, there were people who would put themselves in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, there's just a whole list of things that you can name that showed the seriousness of the occasion as God's people worshiped him. And so, brothers and sisters, worship takes us to a higher level. It should take us to a higher level and will be seen in a way that as we approach God, whether with respect or do we approach God with disrespect. You think of this next passage in Psalm 122 and verse 1. I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the author of Hebrews, he says, as Aidan read here this morning in our scripture reading, that we are to worship God with reverence and awe. And the original recipients of the Hebrew letter, they were at a crossroads. You see, this letter was written in about 63 AD. And these Hebrew converts to Christianity, they left everything for Jesus. And they experienced much pain and much suffering in their conversion and in their faith unto God. But now these same Jewish converts to Christianity were kind of like the Israelites who left Egypt. They're starting to wonder if they could really inherit the promised land, like the Israelites wondered. And then these converts to Christianity are starting to wonder if they could really inherit heaven. They're wondering if the land or the promises is even worth it. They're wondering if the Egypt or the world behind them was better. They're wondering if they could persevere and inherit the promises, or would unbelief and despair take over? So you could see how you could look at the Hebrew letter and those Jewish converts who were contemplating going back to Judaism, and then you can make a correlation between them and the Israelites as they wondered if maybe I should hightail it back to Egypt and submit myself back unto the Pharaoh. So you see, brethren, the author of Hebrews, he writes to these Christian converts to let them know of the superiority of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he encourages them to not ignore Jesus, because Jesus warns us from heaven that judgment is coming and that one could only find safety in his kingdom. And so we looked at it in our scripture reading this morning, but here it is again on the screen behind me. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For God is a consuming fire. Amen. Brothers and sisters, reverence is defined as a deep respect. A deep respect or honor for someone. Reverence involves humbling oneself in respectful recognition that something that you're worshiping is infinitely greater than yourself. That's the definition of reverence. And then you think reverence and awe, as it says on the screen behind me. Awe is defined as a reverential aspect mixed with fear and wonder. How often do we have a fear of God? Do we even have a fear of God anymore? I mean, worship and Christian lifestyle has become so casual, it makes me wonder if there is reverence and fear and awe of a holy and righteous eternal judge. You see, brothers and sisters, does this describe your attitude towards God? Ask yourself these questions this morning. When you leave here, I would hope you would contemplate this lesson and ask yourself, does what Dave said here this morning about reverence and awe, does this describe my attitude towards the worship assembly and towards a holy and righteous God? Does it describe how we feel as we enter the presence of God to offer our worship to Him? You see, brethren, I was speaking with somebody recently, and I asked them, I said, I wonder what it would take to have a revival in the church today. And without batting an eye, you know what he said? Reverence. Without batting an eye, he said reverence. Throughout society, we're seeing a rapid increase in the non-belief of God in this country. Throughout society, we're seeing a rapid increase for irreverence in those who call themselves believers. So not only do you have a rapid increase of non-belief, you have a rapid increase of irreverence, and both of them, brethren, are unpleasing to a holy and righteous God. Amen. I want you to look on the screen behind me. Because when I stand up here, I'm probably about 6 feet above you guys. And you'd be surprised if you've never stood in the pulpit what you could see. When I preach and I look out into the auditorium, sometimes, not very often, but sometimes I'll get up to use I'll forget something in the office, or I got to use a restroom, and then I'll walk out in the middle of worship for a second, and then I'll come back within a minute or two, and I'm back in my seat. You'd be surprised what you see when you walk back in to the auditorium. And as we're worshiping God, I could tell you with my own eyes what I've seen here, not just at other places, but here in Lincoln Park. Cell phone usage, checking emails, text messaging, playing games. There's people that do that right now in the auditorium. Not singing or partially paying attention. Didn't go to bed early enough last night, so I'm starting to doze off. Hopefully that's not my fault, but if it is, then I'll take you know the blame for that one. But get some extra sleep if you have to. But these are things that I see as I'm up here looking down, preaching and teaching. And so I ask the question, if you think that you worship God with reverence and awe from while you're using your cell phone to send messages and play games and check emails or check the score or something, or you're not even necessarily paying attention and you're a baptized believer and you're not even singing praises of song to God, how can you then say you're worshiping God with reverence and awe? Do you even revere God? Do you believe that God is in our presence? These are questions that I want you to consider. These are questions that I would hope that each of us would go home and not only consider as adults, but talk to our children. Talk to our young adults. Talk to our children and ask them if they're doing these things. Check to see if they're paying attention. Check to see if they're singing. Because if you are a baptized member of the Lord's church, you are to be a participant in the worship service. You're not to be here and to just casually, partially pay attention. Bringing food and drink into the worship assembly. I'll get to that one in a minute. Overly casual clothing. Overly casual clothing that is being worshipped, that is being worn in our worship to God. Sandals, your shorts and your sandals and your t-shirts. Brethren, what you wear to worship, it matters. I'm not telling you there's a dress code. I'm not telling you you need to go out and buy a bunch of fancy clothes. That's not what I'm telling you here this morning. But oftentimes our attitude reflects how we dress if we view an occasion to be serious or unserious. And so as we enter into the worship service, you shouldn't look like you're going to the gym or that you're going to the beach either. And so, brethren, as we look at this, if your attitude is proper, and if your attitude is not proper, then you look at these different situations. How do you dress when you go to a professional job interview? Would you wear your shorts and your sandals and your t-shirts? How do you dress when you go to a wedding? How do you dress when you go to a funeral, a graduation ceremony, a banquet, little kids' recitals where they have dress codes and they're dressed up for the recitals and different things? Brethren, if you find it that you dress up for these other occasions, but you don't dress up as you come into the presence of God, then that tells me that you don't believe that worship and coming into God's presence is as important as those other events are. That's what your attitude tells me. And so, brethren, I want us to look at this. And I know there's crickets in here because this feels like a rebuke, and it should. Because we should have the proper mindset, the proper attitude, that we worship God with reverence and awe. And our clothing choice for worship is not to be a fashion show. That's not what I'm saying. And there is no dress code. You won't find a dress code in the Bible. But is it possible to be overly casual, too indiscreet, too revealing in our matter of dress as we gather to worship a holy and righteous God? And the answer is absolutely it is, and we're seeing it more and more. You're seeing it more and more throughout society. Brethren, it is not my belief that a person needs to go and spend a bunch of money on expensive clothing to worship a holy and righteous God, but you should not look like you're going to the gym either, because it's about attitude. And so, brethren, our manner of dress, as I said, often reflects our attitude for the occasion and the importance that we assign to said occasion. And so, brothers and sisters, there are cultures all over the world that have placed an importance on clothing, dress, for certain occasions. You know what they are? I've mentioned some of them already. It doesn't matter if you're in America or halfway around the world. People dress up for weddings and for funerals and for anniversary dates and graduation ceremonies, award ceremonies, banquets, professional job interviews. Oh, you know what the other one is? Worship. And typically, worship has always been something that people dressed up for, to various degrees, because there is no dress code. And I don't even necessarily believe it's the idea of giving your best unto God, because that's a whole other Bible study that I could have with you, why I would disagree with that, because then some people would be wearing tuxedos and formal gowns to a worship service, and then other people that are lesser off or poor might not feel like they even belong in the assembly. And so that's not what I'm talking about either. But does your mindset and your attitude show that you believe that when you walk into the worship assembly, as you're gathering with the saints, that your mind is prepared to enter the presence of a holy and righteous God? So brothers and sisters, as we look at this information before I close it down, our clothing often speaks louder than our words, and our worship clothing is increasingly telling people that it's just another event on the calendar. And so brethren, the more significant or meaningful of an occasion, the less we should want to communicate to others that I have a casual attitude about what I'm doing. And so ask yourself, what could be considered more significant? What events could be considered more significant in this world than coming into the presence of Almighty God? Think about all the areas of life that you know that you should dress up for, and yet you come into the presence of our Creator, our Savior, our Lord, and we dress down. We partially pay attention. We play on our phones. That's the reason why I wanted to bring this conversation up here this morning. That's the reason I wanted to address the congregations. And so, brethren, lastly, I would like to take a look, addressing something that's been addressed in the past. There's signs on the door, and that's the bringing of food and beverages into the auditorium. The elders have asked us to not bring food and drink into the auditorium, because when it's spilled, it often leaves stains, and that's it, even if you clean it up. And then there are those that are spilled, and then they're left for 2 or 3 days for somebody else to find and eventually clean up. And so, brethren, as the elders try to have good stewardship of our facilities, they're asking that no food and no drink be brought into the auditorium. And we know that we are to submit to the elders in all things, as Hebrews 13 and 17 tells us. So let us submit unto them. They said that if you need something to drink and you wish to bring a bottle of water in, bring a bottle of water in. But the energy drinks and the soda cans and all the different things that we're finding around the building that are left in the pews and under the pews, and the coffee cups, they're asking that these things no longer be brought into the worship service. A, there's part of it is this idea of reverence, and there's also this part of it that's an idea of stewardship for our facilities, and that as they are stewards over these facilities. And so, brothers and sisters, I know there may be questions after this, and I would ask that you come to me, ask me your questions, speak to your shepherds, and talk to them about these things. But I'm telling you, as a man who stands above you guys, not in a sense of superiority, but just because I'm on a platform and I can literally see down and I can see everything from the last pew all the way to the front, these are the things on the screen behind me that I see fairly regularly. Not by everybody, but by some. And so I would ask you to think on these things. I would ask you to consider the appropriateness of those things and ask yourself, if you're doing those things, do you really display an attitude of reverence and awe unto God? If there's questions after this, please talk to your shepherds, talk to me, but mostly talk to your shepherds because they are the ones that lead your souls. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to end it in a gloom note, but we know we come together to worship a God who loves you. A God who gave his son for you. A God who sacrifices for you and supplies your every single need. When I pray every day, when I pray and I'm giving God thanks for all that I have in this life, it's a long list. And I go through it regularly because I want him to know that I don't take for granted his great many wonderful blessings in this life. Because he is truly an awe-inspiring God. Knowing all that I know that he does for us out of love, and his grace and his mercy and his son, brethren, we should give back to God our best, give back to him our best in our mindset, in our thoughts, in our daily lives, and in our worship. Brethren, we need to make sure that God is honored and know that he is loved and that we are grateful, grateful, grateful. If there's anybody hearing this message today and you're not a child of God and you want to study out the scriptures, you have questions, I would love to study with you. We have many men and women in this congregation who are also able to study with you. So if you have questions, please let us answer those questions. If you're here today, you've been considering putting on Christ in baptism, then brethren, what better day today than as you're gathered amongst the Lord's church to come forward to be baptized for the remission of your sins? God fills you with his Holy Spirit, and he adds you to the kingdom. If that is your desire, come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.